Hi there, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. I'm excited to announce a new season of my podcast, Math and Magic, Stories from the Frontiers of Marketing. Our guests this season show us big risk can yield big rewards, like Rob Reilly, the creative head of one of the world's leading advertising firms.
I try to create environments where anybody can say anything without any judgment.
Listen to a brand new season of Math and Magic on our very own iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
If you want to level up your marketing and business knowledge, look no further than the Marketing School Podcast, hosted by Neil Patel and yours truly, Eric Hsu. It is the number one marketing podcast on Apple and number 15 on business in the United States. Now, if you want to listen to interesting conversations with operators that have been there, done that, also with other interesting guests, then listen to Marketing School every weekday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Rachel Zoe here, and we're going back to the Rachel Zoe Project for a very special takeover on my podcast, Climbing in Heels. Come with me as I take you back to season one to give you all the behind-the-scenes details and drama. I'll be joined by some special guests that'll be helping me share the real stories behind the most iconic moments in the show. So do not miss this special takeover of Climbing in Heels. It's going to be bananas. Listen to Climbing in Heels with Rachel Zoe on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Polly Howard on VSiN.
Welcome in. It is Follow the Money. This show is brought to you by DraftKings. Mitch Moss, along with Jonathan Von Tobel, who is filling in for Paul Howard. Paulie's on vacation this week. One correction, as Paul Charchian joined us for the previous half an hour, he was running down. He was awesome on what he thinks the Vikings are going to do in the draft. It's not to move up. To take a quarterback. If you missed any of it, you can go back and search Follow the Money wherever you get your podcast. One correction, though, is that Robinson is no longer the GM in Tennessee. It's Rand Carthon, who's the new GM.
Yes, and he did draft Will Levis. Now, having said that, we have seen GMs move on from guys pretty easily when you're talking about a third or fourth overall pick. It's easier to move on from them, so it's still a reality, but very much worth correcting.
It is. The Arizona Cardinals went back-to-back quarterbacks in the first round.
Yep.
Couple years in
the
a row.
The Rosen one. I thought he was going to be it. Matt Heumann still makes fun of me to this day.
How about the story that came out today on ESPN with Bill Belichick? There's something that was Seth Wickersham and Jeremy Fowler wrote at ESPN.com called, quote, voted off the island. So the Falcons did not rank Bill Belichick in their top three candidates this year.
Yeah, they had these. So they had decision makers all rank their top candidates to decide who was going to get the job, and of the top decision makers, Belichick did not finish in anyone's top three.
Okay, now this is also in the story. Quote: Robert Kraft called Arthur Blank to warn him not to trust Bill Belichick. Kraft was a big part of why the Falcons passed on hiring Belichick. Kraft found Bill to be extremely difficult. He was stubborn, not trustworthy, and extraordinarily arrogant. That's in the story at ESPN right now. Actually, that sounds very strong. I don't know why I said quote. Nobody was saying that's actually in the story. Those are very strong opinions to share. But is any of that really surprising to you? That those comments that Kraft would actually have about Belichick, probably not surprising. But maybe the fact that he shared them with another owner in the NFL, that might be the part that's a little surprising.
Sure, especially when you know that Belichick's up for the job, which it could really, obviously, and it did, it seems, at least according to this piece, greatly affect the chances of him getting hired. In fact, they even go on to say in the piece that that was one of the main reasons why.
I would imagine, right? When you get that from the horse's mouth.
Now, I'll say, too, when you read it, this is part of it. A Falcons source said, quote, Blank likes coaches who feel like part of the family, and it wasn't going to be that way with Bill. If you're making hiring decisions on whether or not it's warm and fuzzy, I do think that's a flaw in the process of considering the job that you're hiring for and whatnot. And look, sometimes people are good at their jobs and they can be a little bit cantankerous. But the fact that you get that dynamic of clearly there was some kind of falling out to a degree between Kraft and Belichick, and then he immediately turns around when he's looking for a job, which is surprising too, because one of the part of the speculation that we all had, at least the general we, was Mitch, that like, are you going to let Belichick come in and take control of this franchise like he did with New England. By all accounts, at the beginning of the piece, he had told Atlanta, I don't want that. I'll work with your front office. I'll do whatever you guys want to do. I just want to come in and be the coach. So then for Kraft to come back and just kind of, you know, mother F the guy to an extent after he's done, it's kind of shocking.
One of my most hated things in all of like sports media or a sports discussion today, I can't believe we're still having LeBron versus MJ stuff.
Yes.
Like, what's the point? Why that's, it's been going on for 10 years. Enough already, right? Mm-hmm. The other one is the idea that it was all Brady in New England and not Belichick. So if the owner, Robert Kraft, is going to undress him to another owner in the league and basically eviscerate the guy, can you also point out, oh, by the way, yeah, he's arrogant. He was a jerk. He's tough to deal with. I got to tell you, he was an unbelievable coach.
What's the most underrated part about like these last few years of Belichick, the fact that what he was getting out of those defenses the last couple of years, they were great. He took Mac Jones to the playoffs that first year. They had won. I think they had won and covered seven out of eight games going into that thing. Like, it was incredible what he was able to do. So like that's always been my thing too. Is just, I don't think there's any question he can coach. It's just he can't be a GM. He can't make decisions when it comes to roster decisions, personnel. Like we've seen it for a long time. We saw it on the offensive end for a really long time. He couldn't pick a wide receiver to save his life. But the rest of it, you know, there's definitely more he can offer. I'd be fascinated to see if he gives it another go next offseason when there's a job that opens up.
I think he probably will. Beyond that, who knows? Because then he's going to be, you know, aging and getting into his mid-70s at some point. They ran the football the entire game in that one win against the Bills. They threw the ball three times, and they won the game. How is that for a game plan? How about throughout the over the years and the way that that guy knew the rule book and other coaches did not? When Harbaugh and the Ravens were befuddled when he did something with like an unbalanced line in the playoffs and caught him off guard and they were irate. No, it's in the rules, pal. I can do that. It's legal. That guy, the defensive game plans that he would come up with, absolutely genius. And I tell this to people all the time. Oh, you think it was all Brady? Belichick had nothing to do with that. Okay, here's what I want you to do. In your head, I want you to think about what the Packers would have looked like with Bill Belichick as their head coach, with Aaron Rodgers for the last 15 years, and what Tom Brady would have looked like with Big Mike McCarthy.
Yep.
Flip those coaches. Tell me how it would have gone.
I mean, go back to one of the things that he deserves a ton of credit for that he also doesn't get. Go back to one of their last Super Bowls. Sean McVay and the Rams
were
a machine on offense. Nobody was stopping them. And then Bill Belichick got 2 weeks to get ready for him. And he absolutely suffocated that
offense. Scored 3 points.
The entire time. But it was incredible watching that. Like that narrative always, it's almost like the Rudy Gobert thing for me. Like the narrative that Belichick couldn't coach was nuts. You just weren't paying attention was the case.
Yeah. All right, to the NBA here. And the Lakers got the job done last night. It got hairy. In fact, the game got tied in the fourth quarter after they had a 17-point lead on the road against the Pelicans. They won the game. They're in the playoffs. They are the 7 seed. Now, Denver opened up as high as -450 to win the series, and they were bet down immediately, right? When we started the show, Denver was -310 to win the series now. And that is the current price against the Lakers. So the instant reaction was people saying, not too high of a number, got to take LA in this spot. Was that an overreaction to them looking good the last couple of games and playoff LeBron?
I mean, it could be a combination of two things. I think it's that. And they have looked better down the stretch, of course. I think they're 22-11 in the last 33 games, something like that.
Yeah.
And the schedule's been a little bit weak, but like they've looked really good. And if you look at them offensively, they have turned things around. They're different from where they were last year. They're actually a good three-point shooting team. They don't take a lot of threes, but they're a good three-point shooting team.
Well, how big was Russell last night?
Russell was absolutely fantastic. You got a three or two from Gabe Vincent. You know, he showed up. And of course, he has not been available for most of the season because of an injury. So, like, I think this Lakers team is better. I don't think there's really any question. The problem you run into is when you steer more into the offense like they did and you play some weaker perimeter defenders, that's where you're going to get yourself into trouble. You know, your perimeter defense is not as good. So are you going to be able to stop Jamal Murray when he's running these pick and rolls with Nikola Jokic? What is your game plan for Jokic? You go back to those Western Conference Finals, you know, we've seen it since and before too, but it's been a little bit more prevalent where they decided, let's try Rui Hachimura on Nikola Jokic and let's have Anthony Davis as a roving defender to try to come in and help and contest shots. That didn't work. Jokic was awesome. I think he averaged a triple-double on like 55% shooting.
Yeah.
There's no stopping a guy like Jokic. So does your bench eventually come in and potentially win this thing for you. I mean, the bench didn't really look great yesterday, and they got outplayed by the Pelicans bench. I just wonder how you just stop Nikola Jokic and what the game plan is there. They're probably more competitive. I know I made the joke. I set it up that, they're going to be way better. They're going to lose in five this time around. I think there's a true reality where you win in six if you're the Denver Nuggets, and that you're pushed a little bit more here. But the reality for me is that the Nuggets are, and this isn't going on a limb because they're $3 favorites, that they're going to win this series.
Okay, so I would also come back and say, what can you trust out of the Nuggets bench?
No, I think that's a fair. That's why so, I think you go back to this being extended out, right? Yeah, that's a fair criticism.
I think it's going to come down to the starting five versus the starting five for the most part, right? And the starting five, they were really good last night for the Lakers. However, the Denver Nuggets have the best starting five in the Western Conference. And I think some would argue it's actually better than the Boston Celtics. I don't know if I want to go that far because the Celtics on paper are like the 2017 Warriors. But you get my point, right? So that the starting five for Denver, if they're healthy, like if Murray is going to be healthy for the entire playoffs, I don't see a team beating Denver. And can the Lakers really win a seven-game series when, in theory, four of them are going to have to be played in Denver and at altitude? It's going to be a tough obstacle to overcome.
Yeah, and I think so. One of the things that people are immediately going to point to, and this is fair criticism, right? When you look at it, Nikola Jokic this season, just off the floor in general, they're outscored by 11.1 points per 100 possessions. They average 105.6 points every 100 possessions on offense. It's extremely poor. However, the ace in the hole here for the Denver Nuggets is what they've done is you have your Aaron Gordon at center minutes, which has been very, very effective for them in the past. They did it last year to offset some of those. And when you have Aaron Gordon at center this year, your offense isn't great, but a defensive rating of 105.3 if you're Denver. You still have, right, a really good weapon in there that you can kind of offset some of the negatives of Nikola Jokic not playing. And that's what I think you're going to see here to kind of make sure that your bench is going to be in position. But to your point overall, your backcourt is going to be Reggie Jackson, Christian Brown. Like, what are you going to do there? And with some of these other guys, Peyton Watson has been good at times, but he's still an untested kind of commodity there coming off the bench in big minutes. And that's why I think you do get ultimately a little bit more competitive series when it comes to actual results.
Nuggets minus 1.5 games is minus 140.
Mm-hmm. That still gets you six, right? 4-2.
Denver minus 2.5 games plus 145. Sweep or a five-game series?
That would be. I think I'd rather lay the 1.5. Put you in a little bit of a better position there. But yeah. I think that's more of a reality. And obviously you still get the sweep in there and everything like that.
I would not get greedy and go 2.5 games. No. I would not do that.
Yeah, but we should ask too, Anthony Davis didn't look great yesterday.
No, he looked like he was hurt.
Yes.
Right?
And that's part of it too. Like we had that weird dynamic last year where it was like, what was it, the odd games and the even games, and the even games he only showed up in. But he didn't look great. Missing bunnies around the rim, didn't look as dynamic, got a great one-handed offensive rebound. But I think that's a real question to ask too as you move into Saturday.
Matt, we have in-pocket plays coming up next. We'll also look at that number now for the Kings, who were swept by the Pelicans this year on Friday night, and the two playing games that we have coming up tonight here on VSiN.
Hi there, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. I'm excited to announce a new season of my podcast, Math and Magic, Stories from the Frontiers of Marketing. Our guests this season remind us to embrace change and fearlessly look toward the future. Like Andrew Jarecki, award-winning filmmaker and creator of Movie Phone.
The studios didn't really control the theaters didn't control the studios. And I thought, well, there's a window in here where I could make things easier for the consumer and also make something that would be very useful for the industry.
Or Kellen Kenny, Chief Marketing and Growth Officer at AT&T, who installed fiber in customers' houses rather than leading from afar.
It is so crucial that you spend time with the customers. That is the best lesson.
In these exciting times, we're looking to the math, the strategy and analytics, and the magic, the creative spark, more than ever. Listen to a brand new season of Math and Magic on our very own iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Oh, hi. Rachel Zoe here, and we're going back to the Rachel Zoe Project for a very special takeover on my podcast, Climbing in Heels. Come along with me as I take you back to season 1 to give you all the behind-the-scenes details and, of course, drama. I'll be joined by some very special guests that'll be helping me break it all down. From award season nightmares to Fashion Week insanity, you'll get the real stories behind some of the most iconic moments in the show. The Rachel Zoe Project definitely changed my life and career in so many ways. The show definitely captured some of the most amazing moments, but also some of the absolute worst. I made the show for all the fashion lovers out there, and I'm so happy that people still watch it and love it so much. So do not miss this special takeover on Climbing in Heels. It's going to be bananas. Cannot believe I just said that. Listen to Climbing in Heels with Rachel Zoe on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
If you want to level up your marketing and business knowledge, then look no further than the Marketing School podcast hosted by Neil Patel and yours truly, Eric Hsu. It is the number one marketing podcast in the United States and number 15 on business in the United States. And it has amazing guests such as Alex Hormozi, Layla Hormozi, Cody Sanchez. We pull in these amazing interviews with other people that are not only great marketers, but actual operators. And the icing on the cake is Neil and myself were also operators as well. So we share learnings from the trenches. We share secrets that we otherwise wouldn't be sharing with other people. And we also share other advantages that will help you get ahead of your competition. So all you have to do is listen to Marketing School every weekday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The guy has an algorithm to determine the winner of any given college basketball game.
Someone gives you 10,000 to 1 on anything. You take it.
I'll bet you $20 I can get you gambling before the end of the day.
No way.
I'll give you 3-1 odds.
Nope.
5-1.
Nope.
10-1.
You're right.
ABT, the floor is yours, pal.
Okay, all right. I didn't know what I was supposed to do there. It's your thing. Yes, Lakers, money line, plus 105, winner yesterday. They didn't deserve it. Zion Williamson was absolutely incredible. Leaves the game with 3.5 minutes left on 40 points. Looked like he was going to start to crush this team, and ultimately not.
He was crushing them.
Yes, I mean, crushed their hopes. They were going to be done, but you squeak by. I won't make it an official accusation, but I do think that maybe there was some, it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world if we lost this game. Thoughts on the sideline of the, it's funny, the point where Austin Reeves throws up the lob to Anthony Davis right near the end, it's like a minute left or something like that. Anthony Davis almost looked upset. He was like, man, we got, like, there's no way I can't catch this lob and make this obvious. Man, we got to win this game. So, not an official accusation, but Lakers win. Plus 105. Two today.
Wow.
We're going to go, we're going hot and heavy. Let's do this thing. And actually, the market's starting to move here. But Hawks money line plus 130 versus the Bulls. I think that the Hawks are obviously going to win this game. Good matchup for Atlanta. We get into the details of that here against Chicago. But I would expect that we're going to start to see the market move here for the Atlanta Hawks in this matchup against Chicago and laying it with the Philadelphia 76ers. Sorry, not buying it. The Heat have been resting on the laurels of a finals run all season long. Jimmy Butler's starting to do the media thing. Talking about nobody wants to see us in the playoffs. That's right, and they won't because you're not going to make it. You're going to lose this game, and you're going to lose to the Atlanta Hawks. 76ers win, take care of business. Sixers, by the way, 10-1 in against the spread in their last 11 games. They are 6-0 straight up and against the spread with Joel Embiid in the last six since he's been back. 13-2-1 ATS in their last 16. Give me Philly.
Okay, you also have Hawks money line.
Yes.
As you said, because you think they're going to beat the Heat in the round after that. I think there's a good angle here, and I want the Hawks to make it into the playoffs. I think the angle, because of their defense overall, I'm really going to be looking at Celtics team totals over for the first half
sure.
if they get the Hawks.
Yeah,
I mean, really want that to be the 1-8 matchup.
Yep, and we'll hope that Jalen Johnson is going to be healthy too, because he's not going to play here in this game, but he's a big part of what they do defensively.
All right, so I was with you. I had the Lakers money line last night plus 105. Also, I mean, you say Kikuchi. I had under 5.5 Ks. Yankees not striking out a lot at all this year. They struck out. He struck out the side to begin that game. Had 9 again. He is off to one hell of a start to the season. 9 more Ks last night. Sub 2 ERA. Numbers are absolutely legit for starts into the year. I'm guessing he's sleeping 14, 16 hours a night.
Yep.
He said that to the media last year. He's got to average, you know, 11, 12 hours per night. Otherwise, he's not happy. So far, so good with the sleep at home. So that was a winner. And Paulie with the winner with Peterborough over 2.5. That exploded late. I think the final was like 4-1 or 4-2. That got there. And they play again on Saturday. That's like 35-5 on the year or something like that. Crazy. That's like first period runs in NHL from 2019 all over again. And they had even one play today in Major League Baseball. Not a good week so far in MLB, but the matchup here is Steven Matz going for the Cardinals. Been pretty good so far this year. He's going against the A's. I don't know what to call the A's.
I mean, I know what to call them. I don't know if we're allowed to say it. I know you're on many different outlets.
So Blackburn's going today. He is not allowed to run at all this year. That will change.
Yep.
Could come today. However, he has been like really good first five under going back a couple of years now. The A's strike out more than 32% of the time, as a side note, against left-handed pitchers so far this year. Number one in the league. So it's Matz versus Blackburn. I got to go under 4.5 here. It's minus 122. Some books have minus 4, or under 4, I should say, around even money. But I'm playing the under 4.5 at minus 122 in this spot. Pending, this is now a pick'em. Pacers to win the series. Plus 195. I added more at plus 165 the other day as it was shrinking.
That's a little extreme. I might be tempted to come in here and back Milwaukee. If it, like, I understand driving it down. Obviously, where you're at is way better than where we're at right now. You still have Damian Lillard and Chris Middleton and Bobby Portis. I don't know. Just sit back and wait. Let's see what the market does with it even further.
Yeah. Reminder, you can check out the betting splits at VSiN.com. They're free as we speak. Go there. Super popular. And we told you yesterday that going into the play-in games, the public, they were 6-10. ATS and play-in games, they were 1-1 last night. You can check out the betting splits for tonight's NBA action when you go to VSiN.com. So other series prices in the NBA. Boy, the Mavericks took some money yesterday.
Yep.
They are up to as high as, higher than minus 140 now.
Really?
To beat the Clippers at some spots. Is that getting carried away, in your opinion?
I mean, it's not carried away if somebody out there knows that Kawhi Leonard's not going to play.
Exactly right.
So if there is some trickle of information that Kawhi Leonard's not going to be available, then sure, I understand driving this to the point where it's minus 125, minus 130, maybe even minus 140. But if Kawhi Leonard's playing and the Clippers are trying to make it seem like they believe that he's going to be out there for game one, this price should not be here. Kawhi Leonard has a long track record of showing up and turning this thing on in the postseason. Look no further than game one against the Phoenix Suns. He bamboozled Kevin Durant. He was on him the entire fourth quarter of that first game. Was absolutely fantastic. So I think that if you believe the market and the predictive nature of this, that, hey, the market just thinks that Kawhi Leonard's not going to play and that's where we're going here, that makes a ton of sense. The market has also been wrong in assuming that guys aren't going to play, and these are more like individual games regular season-wise, and it ends up going in the other direction. So it all depends on if Kawhi's going to be out there. But I'll tell you this. Just keep the eye on the information. Once we get official word, I'd move to go bet it because I do think there's going to be some move back here if Kawhi's available for game one.
There is a bet. I think I brought this up in the air on Monday. I asked you if this is maybe a suitcase bet. At the time, the Mavericks +2.5 games was minus 475. +2.5 games.
Mm-hmm.
That has since adjusted. Obviously, it's going things, everything yep. else, the derivative markets are going to move when the series price moves as well. That's now minus 650. I did not bet it. Wish I would have. I liked it anyway. But, and I get it. People don't want to lay a big number like that. Sometimes I think it's okay. That was minus 475. I think the Clippers can win the series, but I don't think they can do it even with a healthy Kawhi in five games.
Well, I'll tell you what gets more interesting for me is the series total. So now you're talking about 5.5 over minus 195. You know, as this continues to move, if the market does not believe that this is going to happen, right, for Kawhi Leonard, if he's not going to be out there, over 5.5 becomes more palatable because, again, we're talking about a team that is favored by about minus only 125, and yet you're looking at 5.5 over minus 195. Like, I think that's something where, again, this is going to be a competitive series. And I even think if Kawhi doesn't play, you're still talking about a potential six-game series. It's not like the Clippers have nobody roster.
Right.
So like, that's going to be more interesting. And again, too, especially if Kawhi plays, Mitch, when you talk about the actual matchups that are going to be on the floor, you know, everybody keeps talking about Luka Doncic and the ability to pick on, like, Ivica Zubac and whatnot. You know that Kyrie Irving and or Luka Doncic are going to have to defend one of James Harden, Paul George or Kawhi Leonard if he's healthy and ready to go. Like, that's just math, right? That's the way this thing works. So it's going to be fascinating to see that. It's not this perfect matchup here for the Dallas Mavericks. And there's this weird, like, I want to say this, like, the what's the term they're throwing out? The Mandela effect, right? That, like, hey, Mavericks own the Clippers. Doncic owns the Clippers. Clippers got no shot. Luka Doncic has a league record against the Clippers. They have beat him both times they faced in the postseason. Ty Lue has been the head coach for both of those series. Mm-hmm. Kawhi Leonard and Paul George have both been on the floor for both of those series. So has Ivica Zubac. Like, there's some continuity, I think, that is being ignored here in which the Clippers have had success against Luka Doncic and the Dallas Mavericks.
The market also continues to move on the other play-in game now in the Western Conference. Kings-Pelicans. Pelicans were 5-0 against Sacramento this year. It's the first time that happened in the NBA since the mid-90s, where a team was either 5-0, you could flip it, the Kings were 0-5 against them. And now, because of the question marks around Zion Williamson getting hurt late last night, despite scoring 40 against the Lakers, they're down to a one-point favorite now.
Yep.
This has moved since the show started 2.5 hours ago.
Let's see.
In fact, I think I saw an opener of 3 last night.
Really?
Yeah, which moved instantaneously.
Yeah, we're there's a smattering of numbers everywhere. I'm looking at Pelicans 1, Kings 1, and then pick. So everything in between. This is just all about whether Zion's going to play. And again, too.
100%, yeah.
It's about Brandon Ingram, too. The fact that he can't get on the floor the last 7.5 minutes of a game that was tied, that could get you into the postseason, that's troubling, I think. Especially afterwards the coach comes out and says, yeah, I didn't want to push it when it came to his, you know, his health and his availability. That doesn't sound like a guy who's fully healthy.
No, that it was strange to watch last night down the stretch, right? Because McCollum was so bad in the game, shooting from the floor. And then you're kind of wondering, well, what's going on? Why have we not seen Brandon Ingram on the court now for a while? And you're looking, and it's like, yeah, he hasn't been in a long time. Never got back into the game. And then just the cruel world that is for Zion Williamson, for him to hurt the leg again. He's got to leave, and he's got 40 on them.
And especially when in that moment and in those last few minutes, you're dying for offense. And Brandon Ingram can score, at least when when he's at the peak of his powers. And you're just like, now, like, it's okay.
All right, Dylan Sullivan's going to join the program coming up next, in charge of the draft props here at Circus Sports. We'll ask him about their philosophy posting props this year and how he decided which players to offer odds on next here on VSiN.
Check out the current betting splits data up on the website of VSiN.com, folks. It is free, courtesy of DraftKings. You can check it out now if you'd like to use it as part of your handicapping process. It is open to the public, no pro subscription required. VSiN.com/splits.
NFL draft props here as Dylan Sullivan joins the program. He's a risk manager here at Circus Sports, in charge of all of the NFL draft props. Good morning, Dylan. Good to see you today. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing really well. That's got to be a pretty cool feeling that everybody here at the book. And you've been doing this now with the NFL for a while, but you're the man in charge here at the props. Pretty cool responsibility to have.
Yes, sir. Yeah, it's been great so far. Action's flying. You know, we got 51 players over under, a few team props. So, yeah, everything's been great so far.
What was the philosophy here at Circa this year posting? Because it's changed, I think, right, over the years of when they were going to get posted, who you were going to select to put up on the board, how much you were going to take as a limit. And you guys, I think, just came to the conclusion that, okay, we're going to post a bunch. You were in charge of picking the players, and then we'll put a $500 limit on all the bets.
Yeah, so a few years ago, we've kind of done this different every year, kind of testing new things out. So a few years ago, we did like 100 player over-unders at dime limits. So that didn't go so great for us. So we scaled back over the past couple of years, and then this year we decided to try to offer a little bit more, but we're going to do nickel limits to try to protect ourselves. And then we kind of decided to do at least 50. That was just the general guideline. So
okay.
I kind of just went up the list, kind of like rankings by position. I wanted to get a little mix of every type of position. So quarterback, running back, receiver, corner, edge, so on. And that's just kind of the amount of guys I ended up with. A few guys ended up getting cut at the last second because their ranges were all over the place. But Yeah, that's pretty much how we decided the list.
So when you guys have these up, how reactionary are you to any single bet? And is the assumption just if it's a limit bet, there's based on information? Because we saw last year, right, everybody freaked out about the Will Levis Reddit post.
Right.
And that kind of changed everything. So how do you guys react when it comes to information and what you're getting on some of these bets when they're up?
Yeah, everything's super reactionary. Like if I'm taking a full limit bet on something, mm-hmm. I'm just moving it to the point that I'm not earning to it. If these guys are in the first round, then I might move it, you know, 40 cents in a one position. Kind of depends. Like, the thing about the draft is every position is different based on, like, team needs and where teams are slotted. So if a guy's in the first round, say, 25 and a half, you might move him to 20 and a half. You might just move the juice. If a guy's at 100 and a half, then you might move him 15 spots. So it's different for every player. But, yeah, everything's super reactionary. We're just moving off money for the most part.
I think there are, from when I was tracking it, and I made a couple of bets the other day too when you guys first opened up, but when I was on the app looking at the movement going on, two guys came to mind. One was Keon Coleman, wide receiver, Florida State. So I think he opened up, was it 40 and a half?
I want to say he was 48 and a half.
Okay.
He might have been 40 and a half.
You know what? It might have been 40 and a half, and then he moved down right away, right? And then he moved mm-hmm. back. So when you moved him like eight spots, was that from one bet? Limit bet, or was that from multiple limit bets?
Yeah, that was from one bet. So
that was from one bet.
So one bet could move him a huge percentage of his total number.
Another guy, and it was more of a drastic move, was Wisconsin running back Braylon Allen. I think he moved 35 spots maybe in that range. So how many bets did you take on him before you're like, oh, this was way too low?
I want to say that was off two bets, maybe three. So yeah, that was a huge jump as well.
And then when those bets come in, is it one right after another?
Yeah, pretty much. Like, certain guys that are betting these right when they open, they're just hammering away their opinions. So if I move it and it's not enough, they'll just rebet it within a minute or two.
They will. Okay.
Well, that's kind of the fascinating part about, like, I think player props like that, right? When you're in the hundreds or in the 70s, there's no information. Like, right? It's not information-based. That's just like, I think this guy's going to go way before that. So, you guys have to react to that because, of course, you're going to build that money up on there. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, from your end, I would assume you're not too nervous because you don't know what's going to happen by pick 100 at this point right now.
Right, yeah, it's kind of a crapshoot. Like, those ones, that's, like you said, it's not information-based. Yeah. It's kind of just, I'm way off of what that guy thinks it is, so yeah. He's going to bet it based on his opinion, and we kind of just have to find a sweet spot.
So we'll ask you this then. There's a prop up on J.J. McCarthy, and again, you have about 50 players up on the board. That's the number that you guys wanted to get to, and you have, I think you originally posted about 86 props overall in that neighborhood anyway. McCarthy's 5.5. There's been a lot of steam on him going under in the last month or so. What if that flips in the next week? And these props in Nevada, by the way, have to be off the board on Wednesday night, a full night before the actual draft takes place. What if that turns the other way and the narrative starts to go, nobody's going to trade up for him, or the interest is just not there like we thought it was since like February? Would you consider moving? Because that price point there at 5.5 over plus 145, you can't really move his position that much, right? You would just have to tinker with the juice, I'm guessing?
Yeah, especially in those top 10 spots, you really don't want to move the numbers around too much because, I mean, one trade can kind of screw things up a little bit, but if he's going to go 4, 5, 6, like, that's kind of his range. Unless, like, he slides a little bit, maybe he goes back end of the top 10, but you really don't want to be moving those numbers too much.
It's only going to be the juice on a guy like that. Has that been a popular prop, by the way, J.J. McCarthy's draft position?
It has been a popular prop. There's a lot of two-way opinion there because a lot of the mock drafts have teams trading up for him, but obviously I don't think the Giants or the Cardinals are, like, the top two teams that are looking at him, I guess, so it's kind of trade dependent. And like you said, maybe the number will move because if it comes out that, you know, those two teams are keyed in on certain other guys, then maybe he ends up going 6 or so and we kind of have to move the number.
So by extension, quarterbacks in the first round was also pretty fascinating watching it from your perspective. I think minus 225 was the opener on the over, if I remember, for you guys, somewhere in that range.
That sounds right.
Yeah, and then it got bet down. So where did you guys eventually end up? Because I thought there was some sort of action on both ends, right? Once it got to a point, it got bet back up.
Yeah, that's been the most popular prop of this draft by far. So we've moved around. We were at over minus 225, went all the way down to over minus 125, I think. And right now I believe we're sitting at minus 185 on the over. So it's been all over the place. That's been the best prop by far.
That one's number one. What's the second most popular prop?
Probably someone odd like Brian Thomas Jr.
Is that right?
Really?
Yeah, yeah. He's been a good one. I think that 17 spot's been like real key for him. So there's been a lot of people betting right around that range. Another one that's kind of odd is Spencer Rattler. He's like at 88 or 90 in that range. We've gotten a lot of guys betting both ways on him.
You do. Have you moved his position much?
Oh, yeah. It's been all over the place.
Has it?
Yeah. Anywhere between like 77 and 92, I think.
Really?
Really?
Yeah. Okay. How popular has Michael Penix been, that prop, 32.5, just tinkering with the juice a little bit?
Yeah, I'm trying not to move that number because he's really the key guy right now that's going to affect that quarterback's over under 4.5. So he's sitting there at 32.5. Like you said, trying not to move the number, just the juice. But yeah, he's been another popular one. I think yesterday was a lot of understeam on him, which kind of correlates with the 4.5 for the quarterbacks. But yeah, Penix, he's that wild card right now.
Another one, and I think bettors gravitated to this one right away, was Bo Nix, right? Because you opened up 32.5, juice to the over on that, mm-hmm. and you moved him, I think, immediately to 34.5.
Yeah, he's there's not a lot of interest on him going in the first round. You know, other shops in town have a version of 26.5, but we got instant over bets, and it seems like Penix has kind of passed him up as the guy that has a better chance of going in the first round.
So when you're doing this and coming up with all these numbers and the players that you're going to post on the board, how many mocks do you look at? How many big boards do you look at? Which guys do you trust? Because a lot of them, there are. If you go to mock draft database on, just type that in Google, this guy tracks every single mock that pops. There's 100 of them, right? From maybe more mm-hmm. than that, from people who do it, you know, over and over and over again. Nix has like consistently been going 12 overall to the Broncos, and you just say that's not going to happen, right? Is that basically your theory on that?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I'm kind of looking at the market and respecting bets, but other than the Broncos at 12, which seems like a reach at this point, it doesn't seem like there's any other team that's really looking for him in the first round. But to answer your question, it's kind of a learning experience looking at a bunch of different mock drafts. I'm really looking to see who the bettors respect the most because I don't have like a great history with this. So I'm kind of looking all around, and then every day someone releases a new mock draft and certain guys will bet off of it. So I kind of just make a mental note. All right, they respect this guy. But I couldn't tell you the number one guy off the top of my head.
Yeah. I'm guessing that when Daniel Jeremiah
right.
does a new mock
yep.
and people look at the big board, that's a big deal. And also when Dane Brugler puts out something like The Beast and The Athletic the other day, that's how bettors are probably going to react to stuff.
Correct.
Would be my guess.
How much do you pay attention to just for like shows like this? Because I made the joke, Schefter the other day went on a podcast and told them, buy your Jaden Daniels jerseys now. And it wasn't an official report. And then he comes on yesterday, he goes, well, I don't know if that's going to happen. So like how much is that is reacting to information? Or is it just for you, it's all about what money's coming in, you're going to only adjust off of that?
A little bit of both. I definitely want to be aware of people on shows giving stuff out so I know if that's where the money ends up coming from. But I'm not always just moving straight off of what they say on TV, you know?
Yeah, probably not a good idea.
Yeah.
Right? A lot of hot takes there.
Yeah, for sure.
It's Follow the Money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
You'd Dylan, have Jaden Daniels as the favorite to go one if that was a kid.
Dylan Sullivan, our guest, risk management team here at Circa, in charge of all the NFL draft props. I want to ask him how the props were received in Chicago compared to Las Vegas. And we'll get into, finally, Marvin Harrison took some money. Find out which way coming up next.
Hi there, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. I'm excited to announce a new season of my podcast, Math and Magic, Stories from the Frontiers of Marketing. Our guests this season remind us to embrace change and fearlessly look toward the future. Like Andrew Jarecki, award-winning filmmaker and creator of Movie Phone.
The studios didn't really control the theaters didn't control the studios. And I thought, well, there's a window in here where I could make things easier for the consumer and also make something that would be very useful for the industry.
Or Kellen Kenny, Chief Marketing and Growth Officer at AT&T, who installed fiber in customers' houses rather than leading from afar.
It is so crucial that you spend time with the customers. That is the best lesson.
In these exciting times, we're looking to the math, the strategy and analytics, and the magic, the creative spark, more than ever.
Listen to a brand new season of Math and Magic on our very own iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Oh, hi, Rachel Zoe here, and we're going back to the Rachel Zoe Project for a very special takeover on my podcast, Climbing in Heels. Come along with me as I take you back to season one to give you all the behind-the-scenes details and, of course, drama. I'll be joined by some very special guests that'll be helping me break it all down. From award season nightmares to Fashion Week insanity, you'll get the real stories behind some of the most iconic moments in the show. The Rachel Zoe Project definitely changed my life and career in so many ways. The show definitely captured some of the most amazing moments, but also some of the absolute worst. I made the show for all the fashion lovers out there, and I'm so happy that people still watch it and love it so much. So do not miss this special takeover on Climbing in Heels. It's going to be bananas. Cannot believe I just said that. Listen to Climbing in Heels with Rachel Zoe on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
If you want to level up your marketing and business knowledge, then look no further than the Marketing School podcast hosted by Neil Patel and yours truly, Eric Hsu. It is the number one marketing podcast in the United States and number 15 on business in the United States. And it has amazing guests such as Alex Hormozi, Layla Hormozi, Cody Sanchez. We pull in these amazing interviews with other people that are not only great marketers, but actual operators. And the icing on the cake is Neil and myself were also operators as well. So we share learnings from the trenches. We share secrets that we otherwise wouldn't be sharing with other people. And we also share other advantages that will help you get ahead of your competition. So all you have to do is listen to Marketing School every weekday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Don't miss out on the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament to the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered. Same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and more. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. You can use code VSIN. New customers can bet $5, get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code VSIN, V-S-I-N, only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
All right, we continue here talking NFL draft props. Dylan Sullivan, our guest, part of the risk management team here at Circa, in charge of all of the draft props. So when you posted the 80-plus props you have on the board now at Circa, not only here in Nevada, but in every other state that you're in. Is Kentucky, can you put props up in Kentucky?
Kentucky's the only state we're not allowed to
put
them up.
You're not allowed to? Okay. But when you put them up 2 days ago, how was the action in the first 30 minutes to an hour?
First 30 minutes were just nonstop. I couldn't even keep up with them. I had a guy kind of over my shoulder kind of pointing stuff out. Hey, you missed this one, you missed that one. So, yeah, we got double popped on a few of them. But, yeah, after the first 30 minutes, things kind of settle down. And then, you know, every hour or so, guys will keep making their waves. But first 30 minutes, it was impossible to keep up with.
I wouldn't be able to do it. That'd be too nerve-wracking. Really quickly, so we have the rule out here, as Mitch mentioned, 24 hours before the draft. Will you adhere to that in all the other markets? Or how are you guys going to handle that in terms of keeping them up prior to the draft, 24 hours?
I believe in Nevada and Iowa, we have to pull them 24 hours. Okay. We're waiting on word in the other states. So that's kind of to be determined.
How were they received in the Chicago area compared to out here in Las Vegas?
Oh, it was great. I would say Chicago's probably been our number two state, or Illinois has been our number two state as far as draft action.
Yeah, you have some really cool specific index props up for the Bears. Like, for example, the position of the Bears' second pick in the first round.
Yeah, that's... Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead.
Yeah, that's been kind of an intriguing one. It hasn't moved around a whole lot. I think we've taken some action on edge, D-line being their second pick. But, yeah, it's kind of a good one because, you know, they're going to probably take quarterback Caleb Williams, number one. And then that number two pick, there's like two or three different positions that are kind of all over the place. Rumors of Roman Wilson, Dallas Turner, some sort of edge. Roman O'Dunes, I should say. But yeah, that one has gotten some intrigue for sure.
Well, JVT, there is a world here, because wide receiver, I think, was minus 170 when I checked to be the Bears' second pick. This possibility does exist where Harrison, Neighbors, and Odunze are all gone.
Oh,
by number nine.
Right.
Right? I've seen some people, I don't think this is going to happen. I've seen some people mock Brock Bowers 9 to the Bears.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't buy that. I think I think you'd rather go edge, right, as opposed to if you're not going to get one of those wide receivers, it makes sense. Also, trading back is a big deal, so you can do that if the three guys are gone, and then maybe still get a wide receiver, but it's one of the later guys if you're trading back there. So I'll ask you this. You guys, obviously, you put these up recently. How much of the process was looking at the books that had been up and letting them take shape in terms of the market and then using that, not, of course, one-to-one, but shaping your own numbers then afterwards?
Yeah, that's probably the number one thing we're looking at, honestly, because if I make a guy 50 and other books have 32.5, I can't hang 50. Right. Basically, I want to hang the closest number to what they have, and if I want to play offense, then I'll force a bet on the opposite side. But I still want to earn as much as possible and be as close as them as I can.
Yeah. So you're looking at pretty much every single book worldwide that you can find to extract as much information and then post it up here at Circa. You finally saw some money come in on Marvin Harrison. His draft position here is 4.5. It was a -$4, but you finally took some money. I think it was yesterday on people thinking that he actually might go over 4.5.
Yeah, I think the thought there is that the McCarthy trade gets up to 4, possibly, or the Cardinals trade out, and you never know what's going to happen after that. But we did take some over money there at the plus money, so I guess we'll see what happens with him.
I brought up Brock Bowers. Your position here is 11.5. I've seen 12.5 on him as well. It's juiced now. This has been going back a little bit. Back and forth. So you're getting good two-way money on Bowers, I'm guessing.
Yeah, he's been a popular one for sure. I think there's some thought that the Jets might take him at 10, and then he's also a guy that teams might be trading up for as well.
If you had to bet that prop, what would you do with Brock Bowers?
I would probably bet the under based on everything that I've seen.
You think so?
Yeah, but I haven't bet it myself so far. So
okay. Some other popular bets that I've seen. It appears as if Dallas Turner, the juice has been moving back and forth quite a bit on his position at 9.5.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the whole time, right? I mean, it seems like Atlanta is going to be the spot at number 8, but he's juiced to the over at 9.5.
Yeah, I think there's some thought that Atlanta might take a different edge there. So it seems like over is the wise guy's side right now. But like you said, there's been a little bit of two-way, so there is some support on that under.
What about you guys do have a head-to-head as well, Drake May and Jaden Daniels. Where'd you guys open, and have you seen anything here? Because the assumption is that Jaden Daniels will be 2, but I think there's still an opening for a guy like May to go ahead of him and still go 2.
I think we opened Jaden Daniels -250, okay. And I think our first bet was on Daniels, and we've taken some May money since then.
This one opened up pretty short, and we had a guest on earlier today, Paul Charchian, who was making a case on the opposite side. I bet it, based on what he was saying. But do you recall where you opened up Vikings first pick to be an offensive player?
I want to say it was -200, something like that. Now we're up to -800.
That ballooned up to -800. I took a little +575 earlier this morning. He was making the case that people are just assuming the Vikings are going to be the team to trade up and take J.J. McCarthy. And he laid out, this is an hour or so ago on our show, the reasons why he doesn't think that's going to happen. And if that does not happen, he said if McCarthy falls to number 11, the Vikings will take him. But assuming that he's gone, he thinks they're going to go edge.
Yeah, I think that's kind of what I thought when I opened it. But we took five or six yes bets on the offense. So I just kind of listened to the money, but I'm glad to hear you say that because I would really like you to win that bet.
Okay. Is that like the number one bet that you were pounded on more than anything else?
Yeah, as far as the team stuff, that was the biggest runaway by a mile.
Wow. So what about a guy like Joe Alt? Because I think this is pretty fascinating. He seems really solidly in as the first offensive lineman taken. But you have guys like Zuerlein who put out there like, I think there actually might be a surprise at offensive line number 1. Now, we thought maybe that means he goes earlier, but that also could mean he's not the first offensive lineman. You guys have his draft position 7.5, heavily shaded under. Did you see anything here? Did you open that up adequately enough that you didn't see anything on it, or what did you see early?
We've taken some nibbles there, but nothing that's got it off 7.5.
Yeah, okay.
All right, very good. A lot of fun, though, with this whole process?
Yeah, it's been great. Like you say, nonstop action, keeping me busy. So it's been fun.
So when you were in charge again of coming up with the players that you wanted to list, are you going back and looking at big boards and the positional rankings and saying, okay, I can probably pick and choose from like the top 6 or 7 guys at wide receiver and just post a number on them? And you wanted to do that with pretty much every position that you could?
Yeah, to some degree. I think we only have one safety. Offensive players, I guess, are just more interesting in general. So more quarterbacks, more receivers. But I wanted a little bit of every position, and like I just went off a couple big boards and picked the first 3 to 10 guys in for each position.
Have you noticed that the draft is becoming more popular every single year for people to bet on? Because we were talking about this off the air earlier today. If betting did not exist for the draft, I'm sure we'd still talk about it, but it wouldn't be nowhere near as close. You know, it's a gambling network here and other spots as well. We wouldn't talk about it as much as we do now, but it's fascinating because of all these prop bets that are on the board.
Yeah, for sure. Like NFL draft of all drafts, I think, besides MLB, impacts the upcoming season the least. So from a betting standpoint, without betting on the actual draft itself, it wouldn't be that great for our space. But yeah, betting on it, it's kind of gone in and out. I think 2 years ago, everyone got a little scared and kind of held back, offered a lot less. And now it's kind of gaining some more traction, gaining more popularity.
Has the I'll call them shenanigans. Has the shenanigans with the odds for the first overall picks the last few years in different drafts been a big reason why? Like we saw the Paolo Banchero stuff. We saw some others. I think was it the National Hockey League draft last year? We saw some movement too.
Yeah.
In a weird way for the top pick. Is that in the conversation at all when you're talking about the trepidation of putting these things up?
Yeah, it's definitely not encouraging books to offer more.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Like even the Will Levis thing last year.
Yep.
He's what 20-1 to go second overall and. Someone gives him out on TV, so then I used to pick him, and then he goes in the second round. It's a crapshoot.
Total madness, really.
Yeah.
Yeah, and plus, I mean, it is strictly based on information, betting this stuff, right? So books generally do not do very well with the NFL draft, a reason why that it's been slow to put up stuff over the previous years and why books have admitted that we don't want to actually book it, you know?
Right. It's kind of concession to the players. We're not really expecting to win a lot of money on this. Our goal is almost really to break even and offer a good menu.
Right. And based on how you guys operated here at Circa, my guess is that you're probably going to do this every single year, even though it's tough to win for you guys.
Yeah, I would think so. Like it could change next year. We might offer more or less. You never know. I guess we'll just see how this one goes.
Yeah. Very good. Dylan Sullivan has been our guest here. He is a risk manager here at Circus Sports, in charge of all the NFL draft stuff and NFL, a lot of it in general anyway. Thanks so much for coming in today. We really appreciate that.
All right. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Yep. If you miss any of the show, you can go back and search Follow the Money wherever you get your podcasts. Stay tuned. We have other shows coming up all day long on the network, including Gil Alexander with a numbers game. That's next. You can listen at vsin.com. Good luck betting tonight.
The 82-game preseason is in the books.
Hi there. I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. I'm excited to announce a new season of my podcast, Math and Magic, Stories from the Frontiers of Marketing. Our guests this season show us big risk can yield big rewards, like Rob Reilly, the creative head of one of the world's leading advertising firms.
I try to create environments where anybody can say anything without any judgment.
Listen to a brand new season of Math and Magic on our very own iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Rachel Zoe here, and we're going back to the Rachel Zoe Project for a very special takeover on my podcast, Climbing in Heels. Come with me as I take you back to season one to give you all the behind-the-scenes details and drama. I'll be joined by some special guests that'll be helping me share the real stories behind the most iconic moments in the show. So do not miss this special takeover of Climbing in Heels. It's going to be bananas. Listen to Climbing in Heels with Rachel Zoe on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
If you want to level up your marketing and business knowledge, look no further than the Marketing School podcast, hosted by Neil Patel and yours truly, Eric Hsu. It is the number one marketing podcast on Apple and number 15 on business in the United States. Now, if you want to listen to interesting conversations with operators that have been there, done that, also with other interesting guests, then listen to Marketing School every weekday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.